Greetings, Dungeon Delvers, and welcome to the season finale of Descent into the Void, a tale of D20s, where six friends journey together to tell a story of mythic proportion.
Ah! Gather round, gather round. Let me tell you a tale of life and death, of joy and sorrow, a tale of D20s!
So without further ado, let's remove the bookmark and continue our epic tale. Last time, Liberators, you accepted the King's quest to work with Julian, the Mage Slayer, to defeat the Lich at Rainbow Ridge. During your preparation, Cal visited the heirs of Equipoise and discovered a plot of rebellion. Horatio researched liches of the past to give you a one-up on the battle to come, and Monaco casted a spell upon King in which, during his slumber, he was able to communicate with the Burning Hand himself. He attempted to strike a deal with King, saving his soul and giving him the life he always wanted in exchange for his body. But the next day at the King's War Room, he explained his visit with the rest of the group. Monaco confessed to the plans that she and the Burning Hand had been working on and bared her soul to the group. After a touching speech from Cal, the group bonded together, joined in solidarity to free Monaco of her infernal plight.
So you all travel your own ways, flying, tramming, however wish you way, but you wish to get there, but you do all end up within the hour back into the war room. One by one, you all enter. Horatio will probably be the last one to enter, but he does, and when you do, you're all within the war room once again in this early evening.
What time are we meeting up with Julian tomorrow?
Is Julian here?
Julian's not here. He's off doing his own preparations. He said call him when you're ready.
Horatio will send a message to Julian asking at what time would he be available to meet tomorrow to go fight the Lich.
A moment passes and you hear, about time you've reached out. Next time, don't send a guard to speak about such things. Be direct. First thing in the morning, I'll be ready. Meet in the war room.
All right, first thing tomorrow morning, meet here.
Dungeon Master, I'd like to have Duran fire off one of his arrows and then Action Surge to strike it with Strike of the Wind God with Firethorn.
Where are you doing this? Is that a wall?
The point, he's going to try to strike it with Strike of the Wind God with Firethorn before it reaches a target.
Okay. He'll be very quick for that. I would say roll me just a dexterity check at advantage because you were doing your demon dancing.
I got a dirty 20.
Dirty 20, okay. So of the, you pick out one of the 20, so now you have 19 of the devices, the arrows that you created. In doing so, you throw it away from the group towards a, and it's, this is a very large war room, like more than 50 by 50. And you go to the other edge before it hits the wall, anywhere where it would do damage, you think anyway. You fire off the next, you strike of the Wind God to fire off. Now you're striking, oh, you're using Firethorn to shoot the fire damage. Got it, just wanted to make sure I had it in my head. All right, so you're pulling out Firethorn and igniting it. You let loose the strike of the Wind God, striking it with the flames through the air. As it hits, it ignites, exploding into what looks to be about a 10 radius. Of flame damage. It shakes the room slightly as you all put up your hands instinctively to block from the heat that emanates from it before it dies down. You see the smell. You smell the smell of like burning oil until eventually the heat dies.
New weapons for new enemies.
What do you call it?
I will call them spider lilies. For the red flower that burst, it symbolizes death.
I like it.
May I see one?
Duran grabs one and throws it to Horatio.
Can I try to infuse the arrow with shocking grasp, like lightning energy, using shocking grasp to try to do so?
So you go ahead and try to focus.
Yeah.
To imbue the arrow. And yes, you are able to transfer a D4 worth of lightning damage to the arrow as you see, like, it goes across the arrow itself, not igniting the oil. Just imbuing the entirety of the arrow with this lightning energy.
Cool. And I toss it back to Duran. I say, I added a little extra kick to this one just to test it out.
Hmm. It would seem today was more useful than your yesterday.
Indeed.
Duran is going to try to go outside, and using one of the functionalities of the stealth check, he's going to try to create a hideaway space to meditate, to trance out in, where he has a vantage point to see if any threats are coming towards where they are, because he doesn't trust Jack.
Okay, so you go ahead and leave out. The guards are there, and...
Do you need anything? Are you heading off?
He doesn't say anything to them.
Nice talking to you. Bye. As you go up into a vantage point, you can go to any, so you can easily traverse up to any of the pillars that makes up the exterior of the castle and sit upon there if you want to. Or you can go to the very roof. It's pretty high, but a few hundred feet, but you can dance and walk your way up there if you want to get to the very roof.
He'll climb up there. He's not afraid to get his hands dirty.
Okay. All right. So instead of flying up there in front of the guards, you go ahead and roll me an acrobatics or athletics check.
I'm gonna go acrobatics. I'm gonna monkey my way up the building with an 18.
18. Okay. You begin to scale it. You're used to using your vagary, but this time you wanted to stretch your actual muscles. It takes you a little bit longer than you would hope. With someone with your skills, but nevertheless, after a bit, you make it all the way to the top. It probably takes you like 20 minutes or so to climb all the way up here. It's pretty high, maybe less, but you do make it to the top. Finally, it was a little exhausting. You take a few deep breaths before looking over and seeing that you're well above any other point you've been. The only point you've been higher, of course, was the Corporis Arcana itself. And it is looking up and squinting. You can see it in the distance, the floating island. You always could, but now you have a closer look at the bottom of it. And it's just a floating rock, per se. But you look across and see the glittering sapphire waters of the moat, as well as the rest of the town, both in front of you and behind you, since this is a circular town. But you can easily perch up here and trance for the rest of the evening.
This is what I'm fighting for. All these people are depending on me. I cannot lose. Cannot let my guard down.
As you say this, Flasia begins just hum slightly, glowing its purple glow. And you find refuge within the power that emanates from that.
I appreciate you all being here with me tonight.
Yeah. It'll be good to get a good night's sleep anyway.
You all wake up from your slumber, preparing for yourselves mentally, physically, and emotionally for the battle to come.
After we wake up, I'll say, we have to start early. I wonder when Julian will arrive. Duran is probably still on the roof, or who knows where he is. Can you call for him, Horatio, or Cal?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll have to step outside of the war room. And Horatio will walk outside and reach out to Duran on the earring, on the bar of sending, and say, hey, Duran, we are ready to meet in the war room.
Duran would have, the moment Duran, like, after he woke up, he would have probably been on his way over to the war room to get ready to go. So he's just going to hop down.
All right. So, Duran, you hop down, and as you're entering, you hear the ping in your head. And then looking down as you go into the secret chamber, and there are no guards currently here. They understand that you know how to go in and out, but as you start to walk down, you see stepping out, talking to you in your head, is Horatio, and you guys kind of lock eyes for a moment.
Sleep well?
Well enough. There were no attacks, no threats in the night. That I recall if the DM can verify that.
There were none. It was a peaceful night, calm before the storm.
And Horatio will turn around and walk back into the war room.
All right. So you two enter the war room. There you all together once again as you all rouse up and start to pick your things and pack them once again for battle.
Are we going directly to Fia after we defeat the Lich? Or do we plan to return here? I say to my allies around me.
Wouldn't make much sense to come all the way back here after making it about halfway to Fia.
Well, remember, I can just take us to Fia from wherever we are.
Good point.
We probably
won't want to lose momentum or time, though.
All right. Horatio, were you able to get in contact with Julian? Did you send him a message, too?
Horatio turns around and walks back up and sends a message to Julian saying, we're in the war room ready whenever you are.
About a moment passes by, and then you hear, excellent. I'll be arriving shortly with the rest of my squadron. We will discuss tactics and the results of our reconnaissance. And it cuts off.
And then Horatio will walk back in and say, he's on the way.
Excellent.
So, but as you guys continue finishing up your final preparations, you hear the familiar unlocking mechanism that is the door that enters into this private sanctum. Until finally, the door opens up. Stepping past, you see Julian, clad in complete plate armor, though it doesn't seem to slow him down. He seems to be able to move fine with it. The sword strapped securely to his back as it glows ever so slightly. Cal, roll me a perception check.
Perception.
Ooh.
That is a 23.
23, very nice. As he walks in to the room with his blade on his back, you start to feel a reaction coming from your pistols and the shotgun that you have on you as they begin to glow as well. He turns and looks at you for a moment, and then completely averts his eyes. And you, with your 23 perception, you could tell that he was purposely averting his eyes. But nevertheless, he walks in and, good, you're all here. Come to the table. We had a scout check out the area. I want to discuss our tactics before we leave. I don't want any of you holding us back. And he walks on over to the table.
I walk over to the table. And that goes for you too.
He says, putting a map down and unfurling it on the circular table. There you see it's a map of Thelos, but the region that surrounds Rainbow Ridge is magnified there. On it, it looks to be a drawing that he probably put together. It's very well put drawing, where it looks like a gigantic cave going into what looks to be the ground. You're not really sure. He turns and says, here is where we believe the Lich has made its fortress. It's warped, changed Rainbow Ridge. It was a small town, a ranch, if you will, and now it's become some underground cavern. What's inside, we're not sure, but we did see something strange on the crawling around. A lot of serpents, snakes, and other types of legless creatures. It's like they were prowling, maybe even observing some type of guards. I'm not sure.
Serpents? And it might be possible we're dealing with Valsharoon the Broken.
I've heard stories of Valsharoon. And they're not good. I hope you're wrong. But in any case, it looks like there's an entryway here, and he points towards the front of the cavern. And here, and he points towards the northeast western section. I want to do a pincer attack. My vice captain, Elroy, he will take the group, go around there, search for the phylacteries. It's his specialty. While me, with the rest of you, will head in from the southern entrance.
From my research, I obtained that Valsharoon's previous phylacteries were found after piercing the veils. It's the spirit piercing the veils. You might not have them hidden in this plane.
That would be a problem. But we can't leave any stone unturned.
Is she the one that was known for any form of poison or such? Because you're saying these snakes, do you think that they're toxic?
Valsharoon, for what I've known, he was a powerful mage in the art of toxins and also illusions. He can entrance you with his magic, almost like a snake. That's why he's deadly, turning friend against foe, turning friend into foe.
Okay, well, I have these, and I'll pull out and hold between my four fingers four vials. I wasn't able to get enough for everyone, but hopefully someone else has at least one, and I'll hold out three of the antitoxins for people to take, and it will give people advantage on saving throws versus poison for 1 hour. When imbued or imbibed.
I have one already. Thank you, King.
Oh, good. Monaco, Cal.
I also have one.
Appreciate it. Thank you, King.
I should be fine.
Duran, do you need one?
Duran sticks his hand out expectantly.
I'll put it in his hand, but I'll like hold my hand on top of his for a minute and like make eye contact and wait for you to acknowledge me before I let go.
He's gonna grip it and he's gonna try to pull it back.
You're welcome.
All right.
I have the horses waiting. As soon as we take the tram over, we'll head throughout the western gate. There we'll ride. She shan't take us more than, if you can keep up with the pace, a day and a half travel to reach. My men are trained to go on without sleep, and we can rest on the outside. I'm sure you, he says, looking over at all of you, can withstand the journey.
We'll be fine.
He looks at you unexpectedly, of any results. He goes,
we'll see. He furls up the map, placing it back into his bag. So have you done all your preparations? My men are waiting outside.
I take out my new shotgun with a wash rag that I'm just doing some extra cleaning and opening up the barrel so I can put some bullets, put some shells into it, and snap it back.
Yeah, definitely think we're prepared for this one. Julian looks over to you at the brandishing and loading up your shotgun, stares at it for a moment, and just like, ugh, turns around with a look of disgust in his eyes and continues walking out the door.
May Kellenvor guide us.
So, are you all just going to leave, or is there anything last things you want to do before leaving the war room?
Horatio's ready to go.
Yeah, I'm ready. I don't think I have anything.
If we've made all preparations, we should move forward.
Nothing left to do but go forward.
All right. So you all gather your last things, look at each other one last time, take a deep breath, and begin to walk outside of this warded chamber, making your way up, opening the door, or opening up the secret compartment doorway. You step out and feel the fresh air that is the Thalosian atmosphere. You look up and, of course, the sky doesn't change, but the water is pushing against the shores of the moat of Thelos, of the castle. And standing before you in a straight line of two lines, three each in a row, are similarly dressed to Julian, Unity Knights. There's one that steps out into the middle and looks to be a human gentleman with short brown hair, green eyes. He's not wearing plate armor like Julian, but he is wearing very nice chainmail armor. And he goes, Captain Julian, are we ready?
We are. Everyone, head to the tram. We'll then take the horses and ride straight to Rainbow Ridge.
All right, sir. And they all get in formation and begin walking up the stairway towards the tram.
Come, I don't want to dally,
he says, looking at the rest of you, and then walks his way, making it onto the tram as well. Do you guys go in the tram, or are you going to just fly?
Do we all fit? Can we all just go together?
Yeah, you all can fit. The tram can fit several people.
Yeah, then might as well just go together.
Not exert any spell slots now.
Okay.
Plus, the tram has comfortable seating.
Yes, very comfortable seating.
And as we get into the tram, can I roll like insight to see if these guys are like, does Duran sense these guys have what it takes?
Okay, roll an insight check.
I roll a unnatural 10.
10. They look pretty sturdy. They look confident. There's no sign of fear in their eyes. So for all you know, they look like they're ready. As you all step into the tram, you get into the comfortable seats as the conductor sits at the front. Is that everyone? All aboard? He says, all right, we head off to the Grey District.
DM, does it look like they're... Like, how do the Unity Knights look? Like, it looks like it's all fighters, all paladins, all... Is it a mix of, you know, casters and fighters / pallies?
Roll me a perception check if you're checking them out. You have to look to see if there's, like, if they're carrying any reagents or stuff like that.
I rolled an 18.
18. Okay. You see that... You look them up and down, and you see some of them... Actually... They're all mostly carrying religious symbols, so there's possibly clerics, paladins, and fighters amongst them, you can surmise. You don't know exactly what they are, you'll have to ask them, but you get the feeling of, like, okay, that's a holy symbol there. Could be a cleric, could be a paladin. They have great swords. They all are carrying great swords and shields.
They are more on the tanky side of things, or so it seems.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. But the tram closes. The door, and it begins flying up. Remember, this tram doesn't go on the string like the other ones. These fly on its own accord. So but it's still following the pathway that a normal tram would take, and it's continuing to move. You guys go over one last time of the sapphire moat as it glitters
down below before making it toward the light district after about 20 minutes or so. If none of you talk to amongst each other, the trip is pretty silent. There are carts, and you see that some of the Union Knights are going into other carts and probably chatting with each other, or Julian's going on and talking tactics with them, but he doesn't really involve you as much as he can. Cal, you do notice with your past perception that he constantly stares at you. But nevertheless... Oh, go ahead.
Whenever he leaves, like a second or a third time, like after I've noticed this, I want to just follow him and like see him like outside of where, like the area where we are specifically, as he's going to like another room or cabin or whatever.
So you're trying to catch him in a cabin alone?
Yeah, I want to, or like in like the in-between along the sides.
Okay.
Just confront him.
Yeah. So you step out and while he's coming out of one of the rooms, and there's a large tram, or at least it's larger inside than it is outside. So you all have your own little sections and carts that you go into. Going into the patches way in between, he closes the door, turns and looks at you, and then just continues walking past you. Or he walks towards you, doesn't make eye contact, and then just continues tries to walk past you.
Can I help you, Julian?
He stops. No, I'm quite all right. And then he continues walking.
Is that why you keep staring then?
I just can't believe that His Majesty would give such a relic to you. He says, looking on over. He turns around, looks down over at the sawed-off shotgun.
These relics, as you put it, are finely tuned instruments that my father created with his bare hands. I honor him by using them, rather than them collecting dust on mantles.
Son or not, you are not worthy of Galilea's craftsmanship. And he says that, holding the hilt of his sword before letting it go.
I have four barrels prove otherwise.
Are your weapons out, invisible? All your weapons?
At this point, I have kicked back my duster on the sides, showing off the two magical revolvers at my hips, and I've slung the rifle, the railgun rifle, kind of off my back and like underneath my arm where it would be, and I just have the shotgun over my shoulder.
Okay. He inspects you for a moment and then stops.
And it's like fully armed to the teeth.
Yeah, you're an arsenal right now.
Yeah, I am. I'm a tank right now.
And he inspects you for a moment, noticing all of your weapons. Look at you brandishing his weapons when I'm sure you haven't even begun to understand the magic, the beauty that is the artifice of Galilea's craftsmanship. And then he unsheathes his sword and pulls it out. So this is the first time you're actually looking at it. And at that moment, as all the weapons are within a close proximity of each other, they all begin to glow, including his sword.
I know enough that they become more powerful as they're all put together. They glow with the power of Kalambor.
I've seen these weapons in action.
So have I.
I've wielded this, and he holds his sword out. Galilea granted each captain of Thelos one of his weapons. And look at you, noticing your railgun, he looks on over it. Well, that which was not made for you.
They were made to channel Kalambor, and there was no one more suitable than that for me.
And how did you by chance convince Merrick to give you that? Same way you tried to swoon the king?
It's not swooning when they can feel the essence of Kalambor in front of them. Have you been unfaithful long enough to not be able to even feel it?
Don't you question my faith, boy. He says, stepping up to you. Now, he's much shorter than you, so... But he's still up to you.
Then be sure to protect the key.
He sheaths his blade and walks. It turns around and walks away.
Satisfied, I return to my friends.
Okay.
DM.
Yes.
Now that we are outside, Horatia would like to check in on Hootie. Or check in with Hootie on Serio.
Okay. So you go, sit into your cart, close your eyes and connect. And yes, you are able to reach Hootie. Hootie's flying around right now on the outside as you see. Roll me a perception check at advantage, +4. For Hootie. So it's a d20 +4 at advantage.
13.
Okay. You check in with Hootie, and as he's flying around, he seems to be above about maybe 60 or 70 feet. There's a mountain that he's flying next to, and looking down at a cave entrance, you see walking in, carrying what seems to be some type of game, is a human gentleman with Sariel right behind him. They exchange some words for a moment before stepping into the cave. You do notice that Sariel is in her complete elven form. You've used to seeing her in her human form, other than the two elves in the party who have seen her in this form. But then she looks up, smiles, and then at Hootie, or you, you're not sure. You get the feeling that she's looking at you before she walks into the cavern.
So yeah, no, Horatio finishes and then says to King, just checked in on Sariel, she seems to be okay.
Thank goodness. I appreciate you taking a look.
No problem.
It makes me feel better knowing that they're safe.
Mayaka would have pressed herself up against the glass and looked down at the city one last time. They're rebuilding so quickly. They're all out there. Everything's going to be okay here.
That's all they can do, Mayaka. Move forward. Rebuild.
These people are resilient. They will flourish.
Not if we can't stop this lich.
We will.
We have bigger problems than a lich. Honestly, he's the least of my concerns. I think of him in a formality on a step to greater things.
Well, I'm glad you're very confident, King. It makes me feel secure.
So you guys continue going on, looking at the sites below, seeing as they're rebuilding, people putting together. Still a lot of mayhem that happened, but it looks like everyone's helping each other. Mages are using their magic to pick things up with their mind and telekinesis and so on and so forth. You can even totally notice that there's Kapor's Arcana members who are coming out and helping as well. A lot of them look lost and dazed, but you guys are pretty high. You can't really make much out of the scenery or of that detail. But nevertheless, after about another hour of travel, because this has been moving fairly quickly, faster than the normal ones you went on, you do reach the end of the pathway that lines up with the station here at the Grey District that you originally had entered when you first came into Thelos. The stone staircase leads downstairs as the conductor goes, "All right, we've arrived. Safe travels and good luck." The doors open up, poof, and coming out first in a marching formation is Julian, as well as the rest of the Uni Knights and his squadron. They step out and make their way downstairs, leaving you guys alone in the tram.
We'll gather our things and get out.
Yeah, we won't be too far behind.
Okay. So you all get up, gather your things, walk down the staircase until you get towards the entryway that you recognize as the western gate of Thelos. There you see there are several horses waiting there, and they look very strong and fast stallions. You could tell just by looking at it, very muscular. And he turns... I mean, they're like war horses, actually, at this point. And he goes to over Julian to sit onto one. His is adorned with the most majestic of saddles. There's also a flag towards the back. It's not up right now. It's actually down and seems to be compressed, but you do see a flag racked up on the side of his war horse as it has gold and purple saddle onto it. And he goes to hop onto, and so do the rest of the Unity Knights.
"Well, I'm confident you all know how to ride a horse.
Yours all look mundane and ordinary compared to theirs."
"These horses won't do. They look sickly."
"Excuse me. These are our strongest of horses."
"Yours certainly seem that way. It's all right. I was not myself when I made this request of you. I had gone through some troubling times, but I have come to my better senses. I will ensure that our group is there swift and secure. And I will start spinning Caliburn, and I'll chant out, you know, 'Caliburn, I call for you, the form of mobility, speed for speed, on your legs we ride,' and I'll throw it up and will it to shatter into its five pieces."
Okay, and as you do so, Caliburn flies up, spinning around until it shatters into its five pieces, landing at each one of the liberators. When it does, it forms and it starts to transform and mutate and till it metamorphosizes into a large unicorn of each of your individual color. And as it makes its final
appearance. It flashes a little bit light and dust before appearing very beautifully. And you look on over and you see Julian just snarl like,
if you could do that, why'd even bother? Let's ride. Men!
And they all go, huh? And they all go off, galloping very quickly into the plains of Thelos.
I hope you are better at fighting than you are securing horses then.
He looks back at you and just continues moving, galloping off, leaving you behind.
I'll look towards like Minako and Cal and be like, is that the first time Duran has actually defended us?
It's a good feeling.
Makes me feel happy.
After that, Duran looks back to you all and says, if his men fall, we should not help them. Their lives are in his hands. Our goals are more important.
We can lend some aid, but we have duties ahead of us for sure. Let's go.
I look over to Minako. You win some and you lose some, I guess.
Hey, I mean, he's still our friend.
He is.
And he's still a part of this team.
So you all get into your unicorns, hop onto them, and you feel the mental connection with it. Where you want the unicorn to go, it will go. Where you want Calibor to turn, it will turn. And you connect with it, each of you. And with all you giving the mental command to continue, to gallop off, chasing after the warhorses of the Unity Knights, you go off into the dust-lit sky, looking back one last time as Thelos gets smaller and smaller into the distance before it goes and touches the horizon, leaving your vision. But the first 4 hours is pretty peaceful. You catch up easily with the warhorses that Julian and his Unity Knights are riding. He looks on over towards you, seeing that you're keeping pace and then just continues going forward. It looks like he's mouthing something, and then one of that same gentleman who spoke to him before gets closer to him, and they share an exchange before you see him come over. Not Julian, but the gentleman he was speaking to. As you're galloping, he turns. We're going to slow down. There seems to be something up ahead. And you see he starts to slow down, and the rest of the Unity Knights start to fall back, and you just move a little bit faster than they are.
Can I stand on top of my unicorn? I will will it to gallop next to one of my allies and then sprout my wings and just fly up in the air and see if I can get like a bird's eye view of what's in the distance he's talking about.
Sure. As these are, as it is Caliburn unicorns, you have complete balance no matter what position you're in. So you're easily able to step on top of it, sprout your beautiful butterfly wings and fly off into the distance. All the rest of you slowing down because they have now are starting to get to a halt. As they're like, whoa! And the horse is like, meow! And begins to slow down.
Yeah, I think we would, or at least Horatio would.
They weren't slowing, they were like hard stopping, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, they were slowing down at first, and now they're starting to stop at there. They were giving you to, they didn't want to just hard stop and have you guys just go. They're waiting for you, but if you're
oh,
just
I see, okay. So, like, they're slowing down so that we could catch up to stop. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But eventually, they're starting to stop now.
Julian, what do your scouts have?
Julian trods over, click, click. Demons up ahead. I'd rather we get there as fast as we can, so I want to see if we can sneak around them. Perhaps if you can be useful and cast some sort of spell, I'm sure you all seem to be very magically inclined, that could aid. If not, then I hope you all are stealthy.
Is there anything other than demons? Any people?
Just seems to be demons. My scouts have reported about 4 of them.
And King, as you're flying up and getting closer, eventually you see off into the distance something. Roll me a perception check.
As I'm flying up in the air, I'm going to whisper to myself, Nyx, grant me sight and give myself guidance.
Okay. Grant me sight.
Grant
beyond
me sight,
sight
beyond sight. I couldn't think of something better to say. Okay. I keep forgetting to use it, so I really wanted to. Not bad. 15.
15, okay. You look down and you see 4 identical ape-like demons that are large. Looks like a demon you might have fought before, as you recall from when you first entered.
So I see 4 of them sort of like mulling about.
Yeah, they're mulling about looking like they're... actually, they're consuming what seems to be some type of woodland creature as they're digging into it. But doesn't look like they're...
And they're sort of on the path that we were on.
Right. There are some trees, of course. You know, this place is this place is full of trees and other types of rock formations. You could possibly sneak around them, but if not, you could face them if you wanted to run into them.
Okay, no, I'll fly back to the group, and I'll land on my horse, and I'll say, and disperse my wings. And I will say, it seems as if they're having a snack. They found some poor woodland being, or horse, I'm not sure. But there are four giant creatures. They are massive, and there could be smaller minions about. Couldn't really tell.
Well, if going forward we might risk losing our strength, we have to conserve everything before we get there. Let's just go around.
I will go into my bag that I had on the side of my unicorn and pull out my brand new ornate Heaven's Dew Carrier. And I'll say, we can turn this on and radiate some warding presence. Maybe it will be enough to keep them away.
Julian turns to you. Ugh, this is why I didn't want to bring amateurs. Yes, the Heaven's Dew wards off demons, but it also makes them aware of your presence. Have you not noticed yourselves being followed or attracted by demons on the outskirts when you had it on? It protects you, but it gives away your location. And if these demons are strong enough, they can shatter through it. So don't activate it.
Do you think they will follow us all the way to Rainbow Ridge? Can we not just outrun them? As I put away my opulent symphony lantern.
We can outrun them, yes, but I don't want them to alert others. I say we sneak, go around, and when far enough, we then gallop on the horses away. Unless you feel that you can fight them, but I'd rather save our strength. We have still a day's travel to the ridge.
I have an idea.
Julian turns to you.
Eudrin, would you be able to take this, this little, chalice over there, and then perhaps activate it? Or perhaps we activate it and send you over there with it?
Are you having Eugene come in normal?
She summons him, and I imagine he pops up invisibly, and then she'll just start talking to him while he's invisibly around her.
So Eugene will take his normal form of the red striped suit. No one can see or hear this, unless you can see into the ethereal plane or see invisible things. But you see and hear him, Monaco, and he goes, after appearing out of the shadows, if that is what the lady requests, then that is what the lady will get.
Do be sure to disappear yourself and come back with this chalice when you're done. I would hate to have to resummon you.
Indeed. So he goes ahead and grabs the chalice from you, and you all just see the chalice just float invisibly, and everyone, or at least the Union Knights, kind of jump back a little bit. What is this?
I will simply send the chalice as a distraction, then we will retrieve it and move past them. What say you? She looks at King.
I mean, do you want to sacrifice this chalice? I don't think we're going to be able to get it back.
Oh, he can bring it back.
Are you sure? Because, well, I mean, I guess we could only put a little bit of Heaven's Dew inside of it, so that way it's only active for a little while, and then that way when he returns, he won't have it on and draw their attention to us.
A few drops.
So Eugene turns to you. Are you there anything else you need, or should I head off with this?
No, just when you return, we'll discuss further actions on your part.
All right, my lady, as you command. So you go ahead and activate the Heaven's Dew, creating a small barrier, taking a little bit of the Heaven's Dew, dropping it onto the crystal and the chalice, and the circle appears, and the invisible chalice floats on over towards the four large beast-like demons.
Like, if they're directly in front of us, I picture it like if they're dead ahead at 12 o'clock, mm-hmm. It's sort of like a V. He's going to go towards 2 o'clock with the chalice, and we're going to go towards 10 o'clock, so that way it creates maximum distance between us and draw them away.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, that's sort of what I picture we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eugene goes and grabs it, and now you see the floating chalice. You go ahead and activate it, and it creates the vroom around it, and Eugene begins to walk slowly over, while the rest of you just see it floating. And about after a few
Can we make sure that we have done it, like, back far enough so it would not have a notice?
Oh, yeah. No, you guys are totally far back.
Okay. I wouldn't want to have like an inadvertently attracted some demons.
Don't worry, you guys are fine. So Eugen takes a few minutes to fly across, flooding his bat-like wings. He makes it to the corner where, kind of in between, like a small little ridge is where they are grazing. As he does, you notice that the demons all turn and start walking over towards Eugen. As Eugen continues to move towards the left, getting further and further away, the demons just stepping over. And then you look off, you see more demons are being drawn to Eugen as like a whole set of demons are just following a procession of Eugen, going, getting faster and faster until he's like moving at full speed as the demons are starting to run after him.
Oh, that worked. Good job. Good idea.
That's funny.
He's a very savvy servant. I'm very pleased with his efforts.
Well, Julian, lead the way.
Let's go. Full speed. Seems you are useful. At least one of you. Yeah!
And he heads off, and then there's... And they all warhorse off. And the rest of you hop onto your unicorns as well and just ride behind them. Or side by side with them, however you choose. But gallop at full speed past. And you successfully make it past the Balgora incident. And don't have to fight them.
Hooray for peace.
So, you go. So you continue going on, and for the most part, there are no other encounters. Though, as the day goes on, you guys are starting to get really tired. The horses, the unicorns don't get tired, but you guys are. But, and it doesn't look like Julian and the rest of them are getting tired, and they're just pushing through. Eventually, as it gets towards the end of the day, the gentleman who came over to you before, he goes, we're going to continue. How are you guys feeling? We're going to continue pushing through. I know it's tough, but we're making good time.
What are you talking about? Get back to your ride.
All right. Let's go. Yeah. And he gets back towards the formation. You guys can continue pushing, as that is the plan of Julian. But if you do, you will take a point of exhaustion.
We'll continue pushing, but Horatio will have his eyes closed. Just let the unicorn...
you can't sleep on the unicorn, but you can at least, it's not as strenuous, but you're still awake, mentally connecting with the unicorn as you all are going. All right.
Minako only gives Eugen a good hour before she calls him back so that he's not being hounded by demons, like, relentlessly.
During that,
just,
Eugen
just for clarification.
Eugen finally appeared back once you summon him, holding the chalice, and you see the chalice is floating next to Minako suddenly. He's like,
late. Oh, wonderfully done.
Thank you, my lady. Is there anything else you need?
I'll call you when I need you.
Right.
And he pops off. Well, he pops away, going to back to his pocket dimension. But nevertheless, you guys push through the night and continue going. You all take 1 point of exhaustion.
Are we planning on resting before we fight this evil?
That was the plan. He just wanted to get you there so he can do reconnaissance, set a base and all that.
Yeah, let's push through and then plan our strike.
Okay. So you guys take a point of exhaustion and push on through, nonetheless. So you guys are tired, and you look on over to see how the Unionite's doing. They're fine. They're ready for this. They just push through. But going deeper and deeper and further into Thels, finally, you all see off into the distance what seems to be a large... mountain region. It almost looks like it doesn't belong, because Thelos is mostly plain. There's no mountain in the central area, but then now there's just kind of mountain dome that seems to, or let's say a cave. It seems to be a large cave that seems to, you don't know if it goes deeper into the ground or what, but it does take up a large section of what seemed to be maybe the town. And you hear whoa as the Yuri Knights give a strong halt, stopping.
Are we finally here?
Hopping off of his horse, Julian walks up to the rest of you.
There. You see that? That mound, that cavern? That was not always there. That used to be the town of Rainbow Ridge.
All those people.
This used to be flat land, right? Why is this earth gorging in bulbous? This is not right. The land is sick here.
And we need to purge it. We set up camp here.
Agreed.
I'll have my men do a perimeter. Stay off in the outskirts. See if they can find anything. You all rest or do what you want. You need to be at full strength before we take an assault. Remember, you're with me here. And you see that gentleman who's been going back and forth
with you, is my vice captain. He will lead the rest of the Union Knights towards the separate entrance.
Are we far enough away from them to not get spotted if we were to set up a camp and a base here?
He turns to you, yes. You're about a half mile out. You could just see, but it's a large cavern, so you can see it from there, but he stopped about a half mile out.
What time of day is it now?
I mean, it's like, morning, but... early morning.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So when do we plan our assault? Like, this evening?
This evening.
Horatio, do liches have any benefits for the time of day? Like, would they get a benefit for being awake in the late evenings? Or sometimes on undead, I feel, might be hurt by sun, even though we don't have it here.
DM, there's...
You would surmise that if it was by sun, it doesn't matter because it's Dusthaven.
Horatio says, if the sun were to hurt them, it wouldn't even be able to help us here in Dusthaven.
I suppose you're true. That is true. Well, okay. Let me set up our base of operations. I will say prepare yourselves and then call back Caliburn into staff form.
Okay. Whoop! It forms back into it. You all prepare yourselves and land onto your feet as Caliburn goes back into staff form. Still, some Union Knights are like, ooh! They get a little startled by it. Does not.
I hold Caliburn out in front of me, and I take a few steps so I'm not exactly around anyone, and I make sure there's definitely enough, like, open space, and so there's not trees, like, directly here, directly in front of me, and I will hold my staff out, and I'll say, I call to you, Myleki, protector of the forest. I need a sacred space, a place for the gods, and a home for you and for these men. I call forth your temple, a temple of the gods. Grow it in this forest for me, your champion. And I'll slam my staff into the ground and cast Temple of the Gods, which will create a temple to shimmer into existence on the ground I can see within range. It's 120 feet on each side, and it's magnificent mansion, but cleric form. And it has a Parthenon look to it with a floral and growing vine motif. So you see marble columns that come directly out of the earth that have vines wrapped around them with flowers around the base. You can see that there is a symbol of Myleki, like a tree, and then a starlight, a constellation-like pattern above it that is supposed to be the representation of Nyx intertwining these two aesthetics together. And as you all look forth and you see this building spring into existence, there's this large archway that leads into the center of it. And in the center of this temple is a gigantic, very thick cypress tree that offers a large canopy, and underneath it, it twinkles lights and sort of has this luminous glow. And it's almost like a large room, except there are small enclaves off to the sides of it. Like, it is a large temple with small room, individual rooms, and it is a place of sanctuary for everyone to come and rest. And it is also warded against divination spells. People can't target us. They can't come inside without our permission. And I believe also, like, fiends, fae, undead, celestials, elementals, if they try and break into it, they have to pass a saving throw. And if they don't, I believe they are either harmed or banished.
Alrighty. So as you slam your staff into the ground, apparating before you all is this beautiful Parthenon-like temple that towards Myleki that appears. You see everyone step back, all the Unity Knights step back as this happens, as it forms, until finally, after a moment, it appears before you all. The doors open up, and you see everything as described within its interior, and the Unity Knights stare at you like mouth agape. One Unity Knight woman walks up and she says, "Praise be. Praise be the gods, the Aegis. I have not seen such magic in quite some time. Impressive."
"This is the magic of the Prolepsy. Praise be Myleki. Praise be the old gods."
"Oh, a worship of the Prolepsy. Well, praise be the old gods and the new."
"And the new. Please, you're welcome in my sanctuary."
"Thank you." She walks in.
"I see you put the symbol of Nyx there as well. truly a temple to the old gods and the new.
I feel it is only right, after what we've learned. She deserves our prayers and thanks as well, and she might as well be a patron of mine now too, knowing how close she was to my goddess. It says, the temple opposes the creature types of your choice, and I'll choose undead.
Okay. The Unity Knights walk in, and Julian turns to you. Well done. And continues to walk in as well. After about a moment of chatting with another one of the Unity Knights, you see Julian walk out with this person, and they hop on a horse and ride off into the distance. Julian turns to you. We will get the perimeter. He'll be back before end of day. Then, that is when we will strike. Do I have any opposition, or isn't that all in agreement?
We are in agreement.
Agreed.
We strike after we rest.
It's just you two going for a patrol.
No, just one patrol. Don't worry. She is our fastest.
And it's the girl that's with her?
Yes.
Or the girl that's with him. I will say to her, be careful and be smart. And with this, I aid you in your endeavor. And I will hold my hand up and emanate a soft green glow and cast aid on her and give her, I'll cast it at a third and give her 10 temporary hit points. I'll give it to Julian as well.
Julian's not going, if that's what you're thinking. Just her.
But I'm just going to do it for him because it's three targets, so I'll give it to myself, him, and her.
Okay. So you go ahead and cast your ability, imbuing them the power of Myleki, and she and he begin to shake a little bit after feeling the power, and she goes, oh, my skin, it's tougher. Thank you so much. Praise be, the old gods and the new.
It's for a few hours, but hopefully you won't need to... Hopefully you won't sustain any damage and it will be for nothing, but I'd rather be precautious.
Wise indeed. All right, I'm off. She hops into her warhorse. Oh, she looks back. Yes?
It might be better if you weren't seen. And I walk up to her and the horse and upcast invisibility at third level.
Okay. How long does it last?
An hour. But it's an hour that her and the horse will not be seen, so she could probably make some pretty good time while riding.
Okay.
My palms begin to glow white with light, much like whenever I do lay on hands as I'm channeling this energy. And this is energy more centered around Nyx and being a tiefling, as this comes primarily from my lineage. But I still will channel Kelimvor's might and justice into the spell, giving it that little extra uptick, hitting the horse as well, instead of it just being on one object.
Okay. And as the energy comes forth, that of the power of Kelimvor with your divine, your birthright of a tiefling chosen of Nyx, you shoot that energy into both the horse and the rider, and they both turn invisible instantly. And she goes, whoa, thank you. Thank you so much. I ride, yeah. And she goes off. Julian turns, thank you. Might have been a little too harsh on you. Perhaps you are much more useful than I originally had given you credit for. Rest up. We have a long battle ahead. And he walks back into the sanctuary and rests himself. Anything all you want to do before bed?
As a part of my, downtime ritual, I'm going to continue to write my manifesto and just spend some time each night and do that. But now it's not spent so much on... here's my will of what I want my kingdom to be run, but just a reflection of everything that's happened. And I still feel like it would be prudent to have the king's log of his life and you know what happened. So I don't know. I just feel like it's something that he would want to do.
Okay. How long do you spend on it? You are exhausted. So how long?
Rest, you know, that I said they could take an hour or two of downtime stuff. That's what I want to start doing, is incorporate an hour or two each night as a part of my rest, even though I know it's in the morning. So maybe I'll rest since we're exhausted, and then when we wake up, I'll jot some notes and mentally
Wake up a little bit early. Yeah, fair enough. Sure. So you go ahead and rest, preparing yourself to making some mental notes to take down as you're just really tired at this point and just fall asleep when you do your manifesto. Anyone else doing anything, or you're all just going to bed?
Minako will do another one of her ceremonial dances related to, you know, worship of Nyx before going to bed.
All right. You go ahead and perform your dance within this temple that's been made in Nyx's and Miliki's honor, and you feel a connection towards Nyx. You know she's looking at you, smiling down at you, protecting you and your allies, and you just you find solace in the feeling that of the blanket of Nyx, and before heading to bed.
Horatio would be holding the staff of Alsalar in his hand and casting, trying to infuse it first with fire and then with lightning and again with fire, just kind of practicing the infusion method on his staff before he yawns and goes off to bed.
All right. You go ahead and practice the movement with the staff of Alsalar. It's strange. Staff that's been used for such great evil, being used for such great good now, and you always feel the connection between it and your mother, knowing the relationship between the pontifex and your mother. But it flows very brilliantly in your hand, and you've really gotten used to it. But alas, your eyelids could become heavy, and you drift asleep. Duran, Cal, doing anything before bed?
Just making sure everything is set for tomorrow. I've cleaned my guns countless times since then, making sure that they are all in working order and are ready to go. And I'm just going to pray to Kelemvor to watch over my aim as it will be needed tomorrow.
Okay.
Duran passes out the moment he's able to get to anywhere by himself. He made all those preparations yesterday. All
right. So Duran, you just go right into trance mode, finding an empty area that you can get into. Cal, do you wish to preload in your sawed-off shotgun, or do you want to leave it?
Yes, and I'm actually going to preload the non-magical revolvers with the magnetic ammo that I've been carrying around since episode 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
I have like a bad feeling about putting chaotic ammunition like that into one of Galilea's guns, so I'm not going to do that.
All right, so you all finish your preparations, fall asleep. In the middle of the night, the other Unity Knight does come back. Those of you who are not sleeping and trancing probably would have heard Julian get up and converse with this person, and it seemed that they're just going over the outskirts, what they saw, what she saw, and other plans before heading to bed. But you sleep a very silent and comfortable sleep, but now that you're within this sanctuary, until after about 8 hours later. Some of you probably would have gotten up a little early, like Duran or King, to write your manifesto, but you do hear an alert, a voice yelling, "We're ready. It's time. Let's all meet here." And that is where we'll take a break.